Glory to God. Welcome everyone to Arise Company, where we help people find life, enjoy life, and win in life. We've been talking on a series called Transformation, Breaking Out of the Mold. And I was thinking last night, you know, supposed to be sleeping, but I'm thinking, praying, and the Lord reminded me of this, that we are talking about, you know, when we're talking about that our best days are ahead of us. Our best days are not behind us. Our best days are ahead of us. So, if we will just ponder that statement and think, okay, my best healing, my best health days are not behind me. My best healing, my best health days are ahead of me. Right? My best financial, my best income, my best net worth days are not behind me. Our best prosperity, our best wealth, our best income years are ahead of us. Our best days are ahead of us. Oh, my best, our best days in regards to the peace of God, peace. Our best days of per peace are not behind us, but they are ahead of us. Our best days for our family are not behind us. The best days for our family are ahead of us. The best days for our marriage. The best days for our marriage are not behind us. The best days for our marriage are ahead of us. Amen? The best days. The best days for our fruitfulness. The best days for our fulfillment. The best days for being productive are not behind us, but they are ahead of us. The best days. The best days for joy and rejoicing in our lives are not behind us. They're ahead of us. And you go, well, Pastor Jeff, how can that be? How can that happen? Good question. Transformation. Transformation is how that happens. Right? The caterpillar, his best days were not behind him. Best days were ahead of him. Caterpillar became a butterfly. All because of transformation. And so we've been talking about transformation. And our key scripture is Romans chapter 12, verse 2. It says, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." A number of other translations say it this way. The ERV says, "Don't change yourself to be like people of this world, but let God change you inside with a new way of thinking. Then you will be able to understand and accept what God wants for you. You will be able to know what is good and pleasing to Him and what is perfect." Hallelujah. The Easy says this, "Do not become like the people who belong to this world, but let God completely change the way you think." Transformation. Why? So that you might live differently. Transformation. Live differently. Live differently. Then you will understand what God wants you to do. You will know what is good, and you will know what pleases God, and you will know what is completely right. Hallelujah. Philip says this, "Don't let the world around you squeeze you into its mold, but let God remold your minds from within, that you may prove in practice." Hallelujah. Prove in practice. Demonstrate. Action. Prove in practice that the plan of God for you is good. It meets all His demands and moves towards the goal of true maturity. The New Living Translation says this, "Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, what is good and pleasing and perfect." And so renewing our minds with the Word of God is more than just knowing it. It's also about believing it and acting on it. And it is a process. Transformation is a process. And so we're not stuck. If we take action and work the process of renewing our minds with the Word of God, in time, we will experience transformation. Our best days are ahead of us. We're not stuck. Keep working the process and moving forward. Things are changing. Things can get better. Amen? Hallelujah. We talked about love. I asked these three questions. How much of the abundant life are you willing to believe God for? Do you believe God loves you enough to bring it to pass? And do you love yourself enough to even expect to receive it? God is love. And so love is the force behind Him doing us good. Amen? We are God's handiwork. We're His workmanship. He doesn't make junk or mistakes. We are all priceless, one-of-a-kind creations. Allow the masterpiece to come forth. And we talked about how to work with love, work with God, work with love, in order to break out of the mold. And we talked about identity. Butterflies don't ever want to go back to become caterpillars. Hallelujah. Moses never talked about going back to Egypt. The children of Israel, a lot of them, all they talked about was going back to Egypt. Moses had an encounter with God, and it changed everything at the burning bush. The children of Israel asked God to set them free. God set them free. God took them out of Egypt, but the problem was many of them never took Egypt out of themselves. And so what did they do? They forfeit life. And we can do the same thing. We can forfeit our life, our destiny, our God-given assignment by holding on to our past. All the whys, the what ifs, the if only, the how come, the yeah buts. The way we see ourselves is our truth, even if it's contrary to the truth of God's word. Because the Bible says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Not as God made us, so are we. That's who we are, but that might not be the way we live. So as we think in our heart, that's who we are. That's what we become. That's the life we live. This is why God instructs us to be transformed by the renewing of our minds with the Word of God. And this change of thinking, we talked about this last week, our path to victory. Jesus said in Mark 1:15, He said, repent and believe the gospel. This is renewing our mind. This is being transformed by the renewing of our mind. He said, listen, repent and believe the gospel. The word repent is not a nasty word. It's not a bully word. The word repent is a love word. It means to think differently, to reconsider and to change, a change of thinking. We choose to change what we think and believe the word of God, the word of the kingdom of God and how He does things. Our change of thinking, this is what happens on the inside. This change of thinking on the inside, renewing our mind with the Word of God, this repentance, this renewing of our mind, this is what happens on the inside, and then it affects our actions. We change the way we think, it affects our actions, and then it begins to show up on the outside. The results begin to show up on the outside. This is called transformation, and the outside is what people see. People don't see what's going on the inside, but they see what happens on the outside. And so God gets the glory because of what people see on the outside, the transformation. God gets the glory because of the transformation. People go, wow, look at that. And we can testify. But they don't understand what's been going on the inside. The struggle, the fight, the grit, the guts, to believe God, to push through the limiting beliefs, the unbelief, the change that has to happen, the renewing of our mind, it's not easy, it's not fun. It's work. It takes strength. But it produces a result that we want, a result that we rejoice in, and a result that gives God great glory. And we're thankful. We go, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You helped me get through that. You helped me break through that. Huh? Chuck Yeager, you think when he broke the sound barrier that he was more depressed afterwards? No, he was very excited. First man to do it. But it was scary. There were a whole bunch of people that refused to break that sound barrier because they thought they would die, they would explode, they would disintegrate. They had all these wild ideas. Why? Because no one's ever done it before. But when he pushed through, broke through, everything's shaking and vibrating, decided I'm just pushing through, and all of a sudden everything smoothed out, everything settled down. Sonic boom, boom. They thought he was exploded, dead. And he comes flying by again. Whew. What a story. We don't talk about the second guy that did it. All we talk about is the first guy. Right? We don't talk about the second guy that broke the 4-minute mile. We talk about the first guy. Huh? Scientists said it's impossible for the body to even run that fast. Oh, until after someone ran that fast, and it's like, oh, I guess we can do it. And then multiple people just broke it after. I mean, right afterwards. Weeks, months, years after it, just keep people are breaking it. 4 minutes? That's a slow mile now. It's limiting beliefs that are holding us back. Transformation is the result of our response to God's love for us. God's upward call and invitation will be uncomfortable. Say uncomfortable. We just need to realize that. Because it is leading us out of our comfort zones. And we talked about last week, no shame. Shame is the lack of confidence and insecurity and keeps us withdrawn. Shame will not allow us to see who we really are in Christ, but keeps us focused on the negative past and just keep bringing it up and up and up. Freedom from condemnation is a result of our choosing to repent and renew our minds with the Word of God. Transformation is liberating and exhilarating. It is exciting. Hallelujah. The process itself is not so exciting, but the end result. So the transformation is. The process is not so exciting. Right? It's like the process of putting up our fence. We put up our vinyl fence and we had to bang in those posts. I don't remember how many we had. We had 70 or something like that. But we just had to. That wasn't fun. It was work. I would go until I was exhausted, and then Audrey would jump in and she would pound away with that post pounder and pound away until she was done. And then I would jump in and we would give ourselves a rest. Go for a couple minutes and we would pound it for 3 or 4 inches. And the next one. We did it post after post. That wasn't fun. That wasn't like our vacation trip. I mean, hey, look, we're going to do this. This is exciting. No. We just did it. Why? Because we wanted the fence. The fence was exciting. The end result was exciting. But the work was work, right? Oh, when we were done, it was so nice. And after it was all done, you don't really think about the fork anymore. You only think about the work when you're in the middle of it. Afterwards, it's like, yeah, it's done. And I guess that's kind of the way even Scripture talks about that. It's when ladies are having babies. That is not fun, not exciting. But when it's all over, there's a joy. Why? Because it's over. But it's not just because it's over. It's because there's a baby. Right? So that would be my guess. I have no idea. It's probably that same thing. Why? Because they want to do it again. Right? Like most ladies, they'll have a second baby. You'll do it again? Yeah, let's do it again. And a third baby. You know, so it's not the worst thing in the world. Renewing our mind. Transformation is exhilarating. It's liberating. It's exciting. So let's go ahead and turn to Isaiah chapter 26. Isaiah 26. Isaiah 26. Isaiah 26, verse 3 says, "You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you." So the Bible says here that the person who keeps their mind in perfect, God said, God will keep us in perfect peace. Who? The person who keeps their mind stayed on him. Why? Because we trust him. What does that mean? That means we can aim our thinking, and that's what I want to talk about today, is aiming our thinking. Aiming our thinking. The person, God is able to keep those, protect those, in perfect peace, those who keep their mind stayed on him. we can aim our thinking. What does that mean? Well, that means that we have control over our thinking. In other words, it is our responsibility to control our thinking. It's our responsibility to control our thinking. Let's go to Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55. Interesting. Those whose mind is stayed on him. Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55, and if we start, let's start verse 6. It says, seek the Lord while he may be found, call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his ways, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. So, the word unrighteous, this Hebrew word translated unrighteous means this, idle, to pant, to exert oneself in vain. Now that's interesting. So he's saying to the wicked, listen, forsake your ways, and to the unrighteous, the idle. So we can call that lazy, idle, not doing anything. But then also there's also an unrighteous. There's a one who's panting because they've been doing a lot of work, or they've been putting forth a lot of effort. They're exerting a lot of effort, exerting oneself, but in vain. So they're wasting a lot of time. So he's saying the unrighteous, listen, the wicked forsake your ways, and the unrighteous, this lazy or time wasters, I want you to, he says, forsake your thoughts. Forsake your thoughts. Your ways and your thoughts. He said, return to me. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and our God, return to our God, and he will have abundant pardon. God is merciful, and he is pardoning, or he is forgiving. Amen? He said, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, and my ways are not your ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. In other words, we see here that God says, my ways and my thoughts, I function and operate, he says, on a higher level. He says, you function on this lower level. Your thoughts and your ways are down here. He said, my thoughts and my ways are up here. And the two never connect. So we go, okay, so how do we get your thoughts? How do we get your ways, Lord? Goes on, verse 10. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, you know, the rain and the snow is the exact same thing. It's just the temperature of the air temperature that's different. It's water. He says, as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and does not return there, but waters the earth, so why? So that it makes it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. This rain has been sent for the purpose of watering the earth, for the purpose of producing increase, so we can have seed and food. Verse 11, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. God said, listen, my word, my ways, my thoughts are exactly the same way. They come down. So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it will accomplish that which I please, and it will prosper in the thing for which I sent it. So his word is like the rain. It's designed to produce increase. It's designed to produce results. Transformation. That's why we're told to renew our minds with the word of God, because it will produce results. Amen? Produce results. So we need to aim our thinking. But also see here, the end of verse 11 says, listen, my word, it'll prosper in the thing for which I sent it. We can send our words. We can aim our words, we can aim our thinking, and we can aim our words. He said, I sent my word, and it will prosper, it will accomplish what I sent it for. So we can aim our thinking, and we can aim our words. Just like God, we can send our words. We can aim our thinking and send our words. Why? To produce results. To produce results. That's what the word has been sent for, is to produce results. Transformation in our life is a result of renewing our mind with the Word of God. So verse 13, verse 12 and 13. Results, producing results. Like what kind of results? Verse 12. For you shall go out with joy. Joy is a result. Amen? The word has been sent to produce joy. And be led out with peace. Peace is a result of the word of God. He sent his word to produce joy. He sent his word to produce peace. Results. The mountains and the hills shall break forth into singing before you, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. In other words, it'll seem like as we are in this process of renewing our mind, transformation, it will seem like all of creation seems to be bent in our direction to help and to assist us. It'll just seem like there is a flow. All of creation is for us and not against us. Isn't that interesting? Verse 13. Instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. And it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. He said, rather than thorns and thistles, rather than thorns and thistles, the word, rather than it producing thorns and thistles in our life, it'll produce a cypress tree, a myrtle tree. Well, what's a cypress tree? Well, I had to look it up. I said, what's the purpose of a cypress tree? They are excellent at soaking up floodwaters and preventing erosion. They also trap pollutants and prevent them from spreading. Isn't that interesting? So what does that mean? The cypress tree is like a problem solver. That means as we renew our minds with the Word of God, as we are in transformation, renewing our minds with the Word of God, it'll cause us a result. It'll produce a result. What's the result? We too will become problem solvers. As we renew our mind with the Word of God, rather than being conformed to this world, but we renew our mind with the Word of God, we too will become problem solvers. The myrtle tree. The myrtle tree. What is that? Well, the myrtle contains chemicals that might help fight against fungus and bacteria and reduce swelling. I thought, interesting. So the myrtle tree is designed for healing and answers. And I thought, if we renew our mind with the Word of God, it's going to produce a result. Well, according to this portion of Scripture, what kind of result? Well, the myrtle tree result. Well, what would that be? Healing and answers. We too will be able to provide healing and answers for people. Healing and answer for ourselves and healing and answers for others. A result. Renewing our mind with the Word of God produces, has been literally sent to produce a result. And these are a couple of results just here from the Scripture. And then the end of verse 13 says this, and it shall be to the Lord for a name. What does that mean? It's going to give him glory. It's going to bring glory to God. Amen? Our transformation, because we renew our minds with the Word of God, will bring him glory. Bring him glory. That's why transformation ought to be very important for us. Because our best days are ahead of us, and it brings him glory. It brings him glory. So, we choose our thoughts with the phrase, I will. Say, I will. I will. Okay, so I will. I will what? I will rejoice. I will believe. I will trust. I will not fear. I will hold fast to my confession. I will give. I will love. I will forgive. I will. Amen? I will. We choose our thoughts with the phrase, I will. That's how we aim our thinking. 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 and 7 says this. Therefore, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Our being exalted is not offensive to God. Matter of fact, God wants us to be exalted. The more exalted we allow him to exalt us, the more glory he gets. He's just not interested in us exalting ourselves. Right? The exalting, the being exalted is not the problem. It's our exalting ourselves. That's what got Lucifer in trouble. He endeavored to exalt himself. Pride is not God's way of doing things. Humility is. So we humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God and allow him. Why? So that he may exalt us in due time. How do we do that? How do we humble ourselves? Verse 7, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Casting all of our care on him because he cares for us. Cast the care on him. Don't worry, don't fret, don't be anxious about anything. Cast the care on him. Humility is casting our care on him. Humility is saying, I depend on you. I trust in you. I look to you. I don't have all the answers. I don't know what to do. But you do. So we humble ourselves under his mighty hand by casting our care on him because he cares for us. He cares for us. He wants the best for us. He wants the results of transformation for us, but he cannot transform us without our working together with him by the renewing of our mind. So we must cast the care on him so he can exalt us in due season. Cast our care on him because he cares for us. Whatever the situation, whatever the circumstance, whatever the thing we're dealing with, whatever the thing is that we want to get rid of, you know, the thing that's holding us back, the thing that's contrary to the great and precious promise, the sickness, the disease, the lack, the fear, the torment, the strife, the division, the anxiety, the worry, the strife, the division, the fear, all these things that we want to leave behind us, because our best days are ahead of us, so we want to leave these things behind us. Well, we're going to have to learn to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. We're going to have to learn to cast the care on him. We're going to learn to have to renew our mind with the word of God. Change, begin to, right? Because our ways are not his ways. Our thoughts are not his thoughts. But we can have his way and we can have his thought because he sent his word. And so if we renew our mind with the word of God and then begin to act on that word, that's where the struggle is. That's where the struggle is, because we're going to be stepping out of our comfort zone and it's going to want to be keep pulling us back, these limiting beliefs. We have limiting beliefs, but the devil has also inputted limiting beliefs, right? We talked about where these things came from. Hereditary, environment, experience, all these things. We've got these thoughts, and even as children, it's been inputted. And then we're just literally just, it becomes automatic, the way we think. And it's pulling us back as the Lord has calling us upward. So, we're going to get into that. That's where the struggle is. We're going to have to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. We're going to have to cast the care on him. Lord, I cast the care on you. Cast the care on him. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. There is a fight. There is a fight. But the Holy Spirit said through the Apostle Paul, verse 3, though we walk in the flesh, or we walk in this, we live in a body, we do not war according to the flesh. People are not our problem. Right? Flesh is not our problem. People are not our problem. And then he goes on to say, so then the weapons of our warfare, they're not carnal. They're not fleshly. They're not natural. They're not physical. They're not material. Okay? So if people aren't our problem and our weapon is not natural or physical, There is something going on inside our head. That's where the fight is. That's where the war is. That's where the weapons of our warfare, they're not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down arguments or imaginations or reasonings in every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity or bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. So here's what we must understand is this: where the fight is. The fight's on the inside. The fight's on the inside. People are not the problem. It's just fight on the inside. It's just fight on the inside. We want to step out of our comfort zone. The Lord is leading us. Right? He's leading us. We go to step out, and all of a sudden, we watch the two little short movies. All of a sudden, the warning bells. Rose clothes, rose doubt. This is the end. You keep moving in this direction. There is no. The road is over. The end. Everything. It's over for you. It's over. You cannot keep going in this direction. The road is out. It's the end of the road. End of the road. You might as well just say. You might as well forget it. These limiting beliefs, these lies are trying to pull us back, slap us back down into our comfort zone. Just stay where you are and do nothing. Stay where you are and keep getting the same results. Just stay where you are. That's not where God's calling us to stay where we are. He's brought us here, but now he wants to bring us to the next place. And he wants to bring us to the next place. He wants to bring us to the next place. It's an upward call. And this is all going on the inside. In other words, we can all come to church and smile, and we have no idea what's going on the inside. Because every single one of us, we're dealing with something. Why? Because we want our best days, we want what's ahead, and we want to leave behind some stuff. We want this. God, we want your will. We want your plan. We want to enjoy the abundant life. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. We want the abundant life. In every area. Whatever's abundant to us. Whatever's abundant to us. The great and precious promises. But there's a fight. We're going to have to renew our minds. Change the way we think to get there. So, how do we do that? The Apostle Paul wrote it in reverse, in regards, he talked about the highest, the middle, and then the lowest. And so we're going to start at the lowest. The easiest one to deal with is thoughts. We need to take captive every thought. Thoughts are the easiest things to deal with. They're the first things to come, easiest things to deal with. Take captive every thought. Literally, arrest it. Take it captive. No, right? No. But if you think about a thought too long and think about a thought and you allow the thought to keep coming and you don't take it captive, it becomes an imagination. What does that mean? That means it begins to take on color. It begins to take on motion. It starts to get animated. Animated. It's like a movie, an imagination. And you start thinking the imagination. Well, I said we need to deal with imaginations. What are we supposed to do? Well, we are to cast down imaginations. These thoughts and these reasonings. These reasonings come. The Lord is leading us to move forward. The Lord is directing us to step upward, to move forward. And these reasonings. See, it's interesting. When the Holy Spirit gives us direction, He gives us direction. Take this step. Why? He just said, take the step. It's obedience. And when you go to take a step, move in a direction, and he says, no. Why? He's not interested in explaining himself. He just wants obedience. The Apostle Paul went to go preach here. I'm going to go here. And the Holy Ghost said, no. You don't read 15 more verses about why. He said, I'm going to go here. And the Holy Ghost said, I forbid you. Again, that's all. There's no explanation. One day, Jesus got up. He's got his itinerary. He's got his plan. But he woke up one day, John chapter 4, and he said, King James, we must needs be go through Samaria. Today, there is direction. Why? I don't know. But he found out when he got there. See, when the Holy Ghost leads, there's direction. And not a whole lot of whys. So, but when fear comes, fear has 27 reasons why. Reasons why not to do it. Fear comes from the outside. The leading of the Spirit comes from the inside. So this is going to help us being led by the Spirit. The leading of the Spirit, you know, we've had people that have plane tickets booked for a flight, and they just had this, I'm not supposed to get on. Why? No explanation, just no peace. No. So they didn't go on. The plane crashes. Those thousands and thousands and thousands of people, saved and unsaved, that were not in the Twin Towers on 9/11. Why? They were just late. They were slow. They were just, some of them just decided not to. And it was amazing. But he doesn't give a whole lot of extra fluff. Do this, don't do that. But fear, on the other hand, is from the outside. And it'll always have 3, 5, 10 reasons why. Don't. It's a clue. These are the limiting beliefs. These are the barriers that we need to break through in order to enjoy the victory on the other side. It's just a clue. As I'm going through this series, I'm learning lots. It's like, interesting. Right? Fear comes from the outside. Fear's not in us. God's not given us the spirit of fear. So fear's not in us. Fear comes from the outside. And it'll always have all these reasons. Well, what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to cast down reasons, arguments, imaginations, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. And then if you think about these imaginations and focus on them and watch the video long enough, it becomes a stronghold to where all of a sudden we begin to just take action without even thinking about it anymore. It just becomes automatic. A stronghold is something that's just automatic. And we're told to do something with strongholds. We're told to pull them down. And pulling them down is this process of pulling down pieces and pieces and pieces and pieces and pieces and pieces and pieces. It's so much easier just to deal with a thought. Just deal with a thought, take the thought captive. But when the thought is not taken captive, it can become an imagination, and it needs to be cast down. But see, the opposite is true. If we take God's thought and we think God's thoughts long enough, they'll become an imagination. We meditate God's thoughts long enough, they will become an imagination. And we watch that imagination of God's word and his ways and his thoughts long enough, it'll become a stronghold. To where all of a sudden we're not going to have to think about, this sickness, this condition comes on me now. It's like, what's that scripture I'm supposed to say again? No, it's automatic. It just comes up on the inside. It's a stronghold. The word of God has become a stronghold to us. And we say, no. We cast down that thought. Take authority over that imagination. No, I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus. Can you see? The devil uses this to pull us down, but God also has this for us to walk in victory. It's called renewing our minds with the word of God so we can be transformed. Transformation is when the word of God, the thoughts of God, and the ways of God are strongholds in our life. Transformation. Glory to God. Amen? So we can aim our thinking by thinking the word, speaking the word, singing the word. It's just important for us to keep the word going in our life. So we get good word songs. Sometimes it's easier just to remember the song, a good word song, encourage ourselves. But we can choose to aim our thinking by thinking the word, speaking the word, and singing the word. So, aiming our thinking in line with the kingdom of God will produce. Let's go ahead and look at a few things. What will it produce? 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. It will produce. 1 Corinthians 3, verses 5 and 6 says this, "Who then is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom you believed? As the Lord gave to each one, I planted, Apollos watered, and God gave the increase. So then neither he who plants or is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase." So we hear the word from our favorite minister, or we read in our own Bible, whatever it might be. The God he causes the word to come to us, be planted, and causes us to have the word watered as we hear it again and again and again and again. But the important thing is, God gives the increase. God gives the increase. We don't give the increase. He gives the increase. God gives the increase. Aiming our thinking in line with the kingdom of God, in line with His words and His way, His thinking produces increase in our lives. Increase. You want increased health? Increased health is a result of renewing our mind, aiming our thinking in line with the kingdom of God in regards to healing and health. We want increased finances? Aim our thinking in regards to the Word of God and about finances. We want increase in peace. We want increase in joy. Increase. Aim our thinking at peace and joy. We want love. Increase. And aim our thinking towards love. Need help forgiving? Aim our thinking towards God's way of doing things. Forgiveness. Amen? This is what it is. Increase. We want increase, whatever area it is. Aim your thinking at the Word of God, God's way of doing things, the truth of His Word in that area. Our choosing to believe and act on the Word allows God to increase us in that area. Increase in that area. Whatever that area is, you choose. We choose that. It's our choice. Whatever do you want to increase in? That's the area that we should be aiming our thinking at. Colossians 1:10. Colossians 1:10 says this, that you may walk worthy of the Lord. I guess we could back up to verse 9. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask or desire that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Why? So that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. How do we fully please the Lord? We fully please the Lord by being fruitful in every good work. Being fruitful in every good work. How do we fully please Him? Be fruitful in every good work. Increase in the knowledge of God. Renewing our mind with the Word of God. Changing the way we think, or aligning the way we think with His way of thinking. His ways are higher. His thoughts are higher. So we get His thoughts. We get His ways. Why? Through the Word of God. This is how we fully please Him. Being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. The process. Let's get into the process again, just a little bit more. Just across the page, Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, starting in verse 12. Says not that the Apostle Paul by the Spirit of God says this, not that I have already attained. At least listen, he says, I haven't arrived. Or am I already perfected? I'm not finished. I'm not complete. Not completed. In other words, as long as we're on the planet, as long as we're on earth, we're not finished. We're going to be working this process the process of transformation every day of our lives. We're going to break out of one comfort zone, and then we're going to get into a victory, and we're going to start enjoying that victory, and over the process of time, it's going to become a comfort zone. And he's going to call us up another step. Another step. And from that step, we'll break through, get a victory, it'll be so exciting, and then it's going to become a comfort zone. And then he's going to call us upward again, right? And so we're continually going to be moving upward. Next step, right? It's always going to be this upward call of God. And so we see here, he says, I haven't arrived. I'm not finished. I'm not complete. But I do what? I press. I press, I pursue, I follow after. Why? That I might lay hold of that which Christ Jesus has laid hold of me. He said, if there's anything, man, I just want to get a hold of why he got a hold of me. Right? He invested his whole life to get a hold of me. He invested his whole life, right? Jesus went to the cross, spilled his blood, and got a hold of you. Got a hold of me. He got a hold of us. And the Apostle Paul says, I just want to know why he got a hold of me. I want to get a hold of the reason he got a hold of me, so because that's where my fulfillment is. That's where our fulfillment is. That's where our destiny is. That's where we're accomplishing our purpose, is when we get a hold of why he got a hold of us, and then start moving in that direction. Hallelujah. Transformation. Transformation. So then he goes on to say this. Verse 13, brethren or family, he says, I do not count myself to have apprehended but one thing. He says, I haven't got it all, but I have got a hold of one thing. I'm sure of this, he says. I've got a hold of this. What is that? He says, forgetting the things that are behind. Forgetting the things that are behind. You need to understand that this is very important, to forget the things that are behind. Because remember the Apostle Paul? His name has not always been Paul. Right? He was Saul. Matter of fact, the whole beginning of this chapter, he talks about Saul. He had this plan. He had this. His life was already figured out. He's moving up the ranks. He's becoming influential. He's really advancing in his career. And he is, there's this new way, this new sect, this new thing that showed up. And it was getting in the way. It was so contrary to where he was going. And so he started killing these people and starts putting them in jail and starts beating them. He's Christians. And he's on his road to Damascus one day, and Jesus shows up, shining in his glory, and it literally slammed Saul into the ground, fell over, literally knocked him down, and the light was so bright, he couldn't see anything. He got up from there, couldn't see anything. You know, like when it's a real bright day and you step into a dark room, you go from outside and inside and all, you can't see anything for a few seconds. Now this is beyond a few seconds. This light was so bright, his pupils stayed shut. His light was so bright, he could not see anything. He needed to be prayed for. And Jesus shows up and talks with him. Everything changed. So you understand, he says, listen, I haven't got a hold of everything, but I'll tell you what I have got a hold of. I got a hold of at least one thing. And he says, I've learned to forget the things that are behind. He says, I've learned to forget about Saul. I learned to forget about what I did in ignorance. I thought I was doing God a service until God shows up and says, what do you think you're doing? Why are you persecuting me? Oh, everything changed. Right? Everything changed. So, he goes on to say, listen, I got a hold of one thing. So what do we need to do? We've not arrived, but one of the things that we ought to learn is we need to forget the things that are behind. Don't let them hold us back. Don't let your past hold you back. You can have a positive past and a negative past, and they can still hold you back. The positive past, we like to live in the positive past. Right? So many people are still living in their positive high school past. Well, we won this tournament, we won that, and you know what, I was popular in school, they live in the past and never move forward. Always talking about the past. Remember, we talk about that's the museum keepers. Always dusting off the memories of the past. Remember, we read about that Brother Brown in the Azusa book. Brother Brown, all he did was talked about the past and always mourned about the Shekinah glory disappearing. 40, 50 years came and went and did nothing. We can have a positive past can hold us back, but a negative past can also hold us back. Chain ourselves, this ball to our feet with this negative past. We're always dragging it around, slowing us down, pulling us back, making us always look out the back of the vehicle. You can't drive anywhere looking out the back of the vehicle. You can't get anywhere looking out the back of the vehicle. He said, listen, that's one of the things I've learned. Forget the past. Forget the past. The things that went well, we can enjoy. Don't live there. Things are not so good, learn from. But unhook it. Unhook it. Unchain it. Let it go. Hallelujah. And he goes on to say, so I'm forgetting the things that are behind, and I'm reaching forward to those things which are ahead. The Greek word reaching is also translated stretching. Reaching. Stretching. What does that mean? I'm stretching forward. It means I see something, but it's just out of reach. Or maybe it's way out of reach. But I'm seeing something I want. The great and precious promises. I'm seeing something that I want. but it's way out there. Matter of fact, some of this stuff I don't even know how I'm going to get. How is it even possible? But I'm stretching. I'm stretching. And that's what this renewing of the mind is all about. It's this stretching. We have to change the way we think. This is this stretching. I'm reaching, I'm stretching because I'm deciding it's available for me. I'm deciding I want it. So I have to stretch. But stretching doesn't get it. But stretching enables me to grow. Amen? Have you ever blown up a balloon? Is the first time blowing it up or the second time blowing it up the easiest? It's the second time. Why? Because it's already been stretched. The first time it's hard because it hasn't been stretched yet. It still wants to be small, but we're blowing this air in it and we're stretching it. Then you let all the air out and you blow it up again and it's like, whew, that was easy. Stretching is not easy, folks. Hallelujah. But we must stretch. He said, I'm reaching, I'm stretching forward because I'm seeing something that I want. I'm seeing something that Jesus bought and purchased for me with his precious blood. He wants it for me. Stretching is not easy. It's not fun. And it doesn't actually get it for us. But it changes. This is part of that, this inside working. It's part of this thing that's going on the inside that nobody sees. We are stretching. Isaiah says this, stretch forth the cords. Stretch out, lengthen the cords, strengthen the stakes. Something has to happen on the inside before the breakthrough happens on the outside. And he goes on to say, so we forget the things that are behind. We are stretching, renewing our minds with the word of God. And then he goes on to say, verse 14, and I press. I press towards the goal of the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. I press. The word press in the Greek means to follow after or pursue. I'm pressing. This is the action part. This is the action part. This is where the results begin to happen. This is the action part. I press. I'm following after the goal. I'm pursuing the goal. And the word goal is also translated markers, or we can say signposts. Signposts. In other words, it lets us know that we're moving in the right direction. Right? If we're going to go to Calgary, you want to see the sign that says Calgary 100 kilometers and then 80 kilometers and then 60 kilometers. Right? You're looking at the signposts to let you know you're moving in the right direction. You're pursuing or you're following the signposts. And then you see a sign that says Calgary left. Left. Okay, then that means you got to turn left. And you turn left. And then all of a sudden it's 30 kilometers and 20 kilometers. See, he's following. I'm pursuing these things. I'm pursuing the goal for the prize, the signposts for the prize. I'm following after these things for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. There's this upward call, an upward call, upward, upward, upward. God is always calling us upward. He's never calling us downward. His plans for us are never to decrease us. They're always to increase us. He's the God of increase. Transformation is a result of renewing our mind, changing the way we think. And he goes on to say this, verse 15. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. See, it's about our thinking. He said, listen, I stretch, I reach forward for more, I pursue, I desire to change to access more. I'm being comfortable with being uncomfortable. It's just stretching. I must be comfortable with being uncomfortable. He says, I pursue by following the goal or the markers or the signposts for the prize of the upward call of God, this upward invitation of God, getting up and I take action. Breaking through the barriers to enjoy the upward call and invitation of God. Understanding the difference between the Red Sea and the Jordan River. It's just mindset. It's just thinking. Well, what's the difference between the Red Sea and the Jordan River? Both of them were split open supernaturally so they could walk through. The Red Sea, they were being delivered from the conflict. Amen? The Jordan River, they were being delivered into conflict. The promised land, there's going to be a fight. The promised land, we must possess it. The promised land is going to require effort. There's a difference. One is deliverance from conflict. The other is opportunity into conflict for victory. The victory is because there's battles. Deliverance and preparation and growth and destiny. He said, listen, if anything you think different, if you're otherwise minded, the Lord will reveal this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind. It's about us renewing our mind, changing the way we think to line up with God so we can get God results. Amen? Glory to God.